Have you ever heard the words, "I don't see it that way"? I think a lot of times we, maybe perhaps we've said those words to somebody, "I just don't see it that way." I think really to be able to get the message across this morning, I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe I could ask you personally, how do you see things? I think really it would be healthy for us to evaluate once in a while our vision. I think sometimes we can, if we're not careful, drift off into a different vision of what really would be healthy for us and how we see things. I have really put a lot of thought into what makes people think a certain way. How can we see things the way they are? Maybe you're here today and you see things differently than others because of your background. Maybe it was your upbringing. And some of you maybe were brought up really, really poor and didn't have much at all. And so you have a tendency sometimes to look at things a little differently. Maybe you were really wealthy. I don't know. Maybe you had it really, really good when you were younger. And so your view of things is different than other people. But I just don't see it that way can be something that perhaps would be a question that we'd ask ourselves concerning God. And really your own life and your own purpose for being here. I often wondered earlier this morning, you know, why is it that the church isn't packed today? We're getting close to Christmas. And this is like Grace Light Sunday or something. And I was thinking earlier, just the beautiful people are here, right? But I was thinking, you know, this is really one of the most wonderful times of year to be able to go to church and enjoy the people around you and enjoy God's people. But how do you see things this morning, and how is your vision today? Well, my vision was better years ago. We were talking about that this morning in the men's Sunday school class. Raul was asking the men that were in there, and for some reason he picked on me, "Do you wear bifocals?" And I think I do wear them now consistently. I actually got a new pair coming in the mail soon. The prescription was messed up for some reason. I've been actually with a messed up prescription now, thinking, why can't I see very well? But that's part of the VA process, maybe, I don't know, but accepting that as reality. But how is your vision today? Well, it used to be sharp. It used to be really clear. I knew exactly why God had me here. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. I could see things, and now it's getting a little more kind of confusing, and the vision kind of goes away. I just am amazed at Dr. Daryl Champlin, when I was in Bible college, used to talk about how that Jesus had a passion that could not be quenched, and he had a vision that would not dim. And I think really when it comes to the believer, there needs to be a reset button once in a while to kind of reset so that our vision would be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto what? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the sustainer of your ways. He is everything you need, and he is the guide. And so when we're talking about this particular subject, I want to ask you the question, it's really the title of the message. Do you see what I see? Author Lynn Anderson wrote about 398 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. The first year they established a town site where they could enjoy the habitation. The next year they elected a town government. In the third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles west into the wilderness. But in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. By the way, who needed to go there anyway? She writes on, here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and to overcome great hardships to get there, but in just a few years, they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They had lost their pioneer vision with a clear vision of what we can become in Christ. And no ocean of difficulty is too great without we rarely move beyond our own current boundaries. And a lot of times we don't stretch out because our vision is stifled. I think really if we were to address the issue and really title the message, Do You See What I See? I think we're going to have to remember a little bit. Many of you were very aware of October 1962. I was only one. I was in a little small apartment here in Madison. And my dad worked at Manchester's. Anybody remember Manchester's? Huh? Go back to 1962 in Manchester's and go to the curtain section, and there's Richard Howell. Yeah. Long time ago. But 1962, the Soviet Union and the United States were involved in a crisis centered on missiles. And the Russians had, of course, installed these missiles in Cuba. United States threatened military action if the missiles were not removed. The world trembled and prayed at these two nuclear powers because they stood eyeball to eyeball. That October, as Noel Regne walked through the streets of New York with a sense of despair, not only in him, but it was also in the air. No one smiled. Regne had endured the horrors of war himself, and he knew the fears and the terror of being close to death. 1962, people were thinking that they were safe. The safe and secure life, though, had been taken away. Many of them had built their homes here in the United States when there was a fear that it was about to end. It was Christmas, which was supposed to be the time of peace and goodwill, he goes on to write, was approaching. And Noel Regne had been asked by a record producer to write a holiday song. I had thought I'd never write a song for Christmas, he recalled. Christmas had been and has become too commercial for me to write a song about Christmas. But this was the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and in the studio, the producer was listening to the radio to see really if we were going to be obliterated or not, if we were going to be destroyed. The writer goes on to say that en route to his home then, Regne, I saw two mothers with their babies in strollers. The little angels were looking at each other and smiling. And all of a sudden, my mood was extraordinary. A glimpse of these babies filled Noel Regne's heart with poetry. The little ones reminded him of newborn lambs. And as soon as Noel arrived home, he jotted down the lyrics to a song. He asked Gloria to write out the music to accompany his words. And Noel wrote the song and the music. She wrote it beautiful. In fact, Gloria said later, I wrote the music, but we couldn't sing it. Because every time we would begin to sing, it just broke us up. We cried. Our little song broke us up. You must realize that there was a threat, of course, of nuclear disaster. But as he sat down and wrote the words, said the night wind to the little lamb, Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as the kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I... a song high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. Do you see what I see? And do you hear what I hear? Was rung in my ears many times this last week and the week before as we're thinking about the scriptures. And I'm so thankful that as a young man, my mom taught me that the Word of God was true. But I'm often wondering, do you see things as I see them? I think there's a lot of difficulty in the world today because we can argue over things that are so minimal. And we can get upset at people because they don't see things the way we see them. But I think when it comes back to the scriptures, we ought to say, I see the things the way you see them. Because they are the scriptures. They are the words of God. Do you see what I see? I mentioned my sermon title to my father-in-law yesterday, and my father-in-law said, you know what? She always sees the same way I see them. She always says she does. Something tells me he's not telling me the truth. Because I know Virgil. When it comes to the Word of God, we see things the way God sees them, don't we? If we were to take the Word of God and look at it and say, this is what God gave to us, we need to yield to His Word and say, this is the way God sees it. This is the way that I see it. Amen? Especially this season. According to our text, if we were to look at it and just understand a little bit more of what is here, there's so much, and I could never finish really a sermon in the text unless we were able to spend many, many days here. But within the next 20 minutes or so, or 25 minutes, I want you to look at the passage again with me. Because when I ask the question, do you see what I see, first of all, the wise. We could focus on the wise men for a little bit. We could actually take the time and focus on how smart they are and how they're from the Orient and how that they are Oriental wise men who came from the East. And why are they wise? Because they're wise because they were seeking the Lord. Would you say that everyone that seeks the Lord is wise? I would say yes. It would be wise for you to search the scriptures. It would be really wise for you to accept what God says. If we were to talk about the wise, we would definitely turn to Proverbs chapter 8, where we have a description of wisdom. And it's been here all along. Wisdom was there when the hills were created. Wisdom has been with us all along. And wisdom cries out today from the streets, cries out in the high places. Come. Come, everything's all ready for you to sit down with wisdom and enjoy the meal. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. So if we were to talk about the wisdom and the wise men, I think it's appropriate, don't you? That these were wise men that came from the East. It says that in the first couple of verses. It helps us understand that there are going to be those that are wise. Remember when Paul was writing to Timothy and said that the scriptures can make one wise. You long for wisdom, know the word of God. You see, you can be full of head knowledge and still lack wisdom. You can be full of facts and still make poor choices. It's interesting as we look at this because we also see not only the wise, do you see what I see, the wise, I see them, but I also see the word. It's interesting when we're thinking about the word here, because I think if we look at the first two verses dealing with the wise, look what it says. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And they were saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I like that. The star. In fact, if you were to look at this, it says his star. There are other places in the scripture that mention the star. One of those places is Numbers chapter 17, verse number 24. And let me just remind you what it says. Numbers chapter 17. Numbers 24, 17. I had verbal dyslexia there for a minute. I shall see him, but not now, and I shall behold him, but not nigh. And there shall come a star, capital S, out of Jacob. I really believe that they knew the scriptures and they were wise unto them. Because wise men take the scriptures literally. Wise men know that it is what God said and they believe it. Numbers chapter 24, verse number 17 proves that there was a star that was coming. This is the words. This is the word of prophecy. In fact, in verse number 2, it gives us that understanding, and they are come to worship him. But look at verse number 3. It says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea. Bethlehem. What a beautiful word. Lehem means, of course, put it together, you have bread, but lehem means flesh. It's amazing how you have this understanding that God was going to come in the flesh to Bethlehem. And why not other places? Why not bigger cities? Why not greater cities? And to come to the little place called Bethlehem, the city of bread. It's amazing when we think about it strategically, but verse number 6 says, by the way, verse number 5 says, for thus it is written by the prophets. So here we have the word, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star would appear, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. What an evil king. And they were pretty wise to that, weren't they? Because if we were to read the story, they go back a different way. They never come back to the king and tell him where baby Jesus is, part of the protection. So we understand the whys. We see that here. And so do you see the way I see it? Do you see what I see concerning the whys? Do you see what I see concerning the word? I take it literally that a star was going to be in the sky. You know, I just like putting out lights on our home every year, but I make a big horizon. Our deck, 63 feet long in the front, goes around the sides, but I put one big, huge star. I'm making a statement. Anybody that passes by and they look, there is a star, the one ornament that he puts out so people can see it, is because I really believe that the star is there for a purpose, to draw people to God, to draw people to the baby Jesus, to understand that it's more this year of just the commercializing of things. And here we see all of this, that we see the wise. Do you see what I see concerning the wise? Do you see what I see concerning the word? Do you see what I see concerning the worship? Look at verse number 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, and it says here also, they went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. And so this was a moving star. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Now, if you were to look at this, verse number 2 says, we have seen the star. We have seen his star. And then verse number 9, it says, they saw. Verse number 10 says, they saw. But verse number 11 says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So they're actually going a completely different way. And I really believe that there was a worship here, and gives us all of the understanding of worship, because we now are going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you're here today, what a blessing to be able to have that opportunity to worship him. And worship in truth. So do you see the way I see it? I hope you do. Do you see what I see? I see the wise. I see the word. And I see the worship in this passage. And to bring that out, you know, it's an amazing thing the word of God is, isn't it? But I want to go beyond that for a little bit this morning. And I want us to understand for the next few minutes or so that representation of this star.
What does this star represent? I really believe, number one, it represents the guidance of God. I really believe that God wants to guide you. He wants to guide you in life. I think sometimes we shy back from what God has to say because we don't want to be guided by God. Perhaps we want to be guided by some other way, by some other theory, by something else, and sometimes the flesh gets in the way. A lot of times I'm entering into a situation on a plane or in a bus or someplace, and I'm saying, Lord, guide me to the person you want me to sit next to. Lord, guide me to one visit today that I can be able to encourage somebody and be able to be a blessing to them. Guide me, Lord. Thursday morning I got up and I made eight visits on Thursday, and I'll tell you what, that was like the fifth visit I went to. It really blessed my heart. And he's been here before. His name is Michael Klon. He's my neighbor. At least his dad is. And so I was able to go out Thursday and I sat down. He's in an assisted living place not too far away from the corner of Commercial and Northport on the right side if you're going toward that area. And I sat down with him in his apartment. He's in a wheelchair. He can't walk. He can hardly move his hands. He's had surgery upon surgery. And he's really having a difficult time. But I'm telling you what, folks. He gave me his testimony crystal clear. 25 years old here in Madison. Built up with all kinds of guilt and shame and sin. And he talks about how he's laying in bed one night. And he says, Dear God, I need you. I need you. Would you forgive me, Lord? And would you come into my life? And would you save me? Michael Klon was saved on his bed back in the 70s when he was 25 years old. What a blessing to hear that. Amen? Something guided him to that place where he could actually look up and say, Lord, I need you. Do you see what I see? People, a lot of times our eyes get so dim to the reality that God is constantly working in other people's lives, not just yours. And sometimes we shy away from what God is doing, and I want you to be encouraged because I really believe the Scriptures teach us that God will guide us if we look to Him, looking unto Jesus again. The Bible is very clear in Psalm 31, verse number 3, For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. In Psalm 32, verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In Psalm 48, verse number 14, For God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. In Psalm 73, verse number 24, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 79, the Bible says that he has come to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide over our feet and guide us into the way of peace. In John 16, verse number 13, Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you the things to come. And Romans chapter 2 was mentioned by Ted Williams this morning, verse number 2 in our Sunday school class, and I was so thankful he brought it up. But in verse number 19 it says, And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. And so my desire is for that light to shine out. Someone wrote, Oh, shine out, O blessed star. Promise of the dawn, glad tidings send afar, Christ the Lord is born. So I really believe that this star represents guidance. I mean, certainly the wise are guided, so are you. But it also represents his glory. If we were to think about this in Psalm 19, verse number 1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalms 72, verse 19, And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2, Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3,
And who, being in the brightness of his glory, in the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In verse number 13 of 1 Peter 4, it says, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be also full of exceeding joy. Points us to that wonderful truth of God and how it gives us the joy that we need. Revelation 18:1, and after these things I saw another angel came down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. I think that star represents also the glory of God. Remember the song, Heaven Came Down, and yeah, and glory filled my soul. I love that song. But I also think it represents not only the guidance of God and the glory of God, but also the gift of God. This is the time of year to give gifts. I haven't even bought one yet. I'm not a procrastinator. Ask my wife. You can ask her a couple days from now if you wanted to. That would be procrastination, right? You're not getting it, folks. Listen up. But it's a wonderful thing for someone to give someone a gift. Many of you already know, perhaps, because of social media, but how many remember I had a bad back a couple of weeks ago? Yeah. Yeah, pastor had a bad back. Poor pastor. But I'm pretty well over it. Yesterday I was out doing wood and I was just trying to get enough done. Did I tell you this already? No, in December? I got a little tree that I always say, this is December wood, and from that point on it's January and February's wood. So just my barometer. Well, we're tapping into January's wood array. So I'm down there, you know, thinking my back is good enough, and so I'm splitting wood yesterday. After I got done things done here and so on, I went home. And by the way, I'd much rather be bus calling and out on the streets yesterday than doing wood. But anyway, I was doing wood. I had to do it. And all of a sudden, my father-in-law comes down and drops more wood. Says, here's some pieces. And I've always teased him because I say, you have junk wood. I need good wood, you know. And, junk wood would be like a white wood. It burns real quick. And so he said, is this okay? And I said, this is good wood, Virgil. And he goes, he's going to go up and get some more. I'm thinking, I want to get this split and get out of here, you know. And so I was working away. I missed the work for about 4 hours. And I cut two great big huge loads into my four-wheeler wagon. And all of a sudden I see my son's truck coming down the road with a trailer behind it. And it's full of split wood, oak wood. All my four boys got together and got me enough wood that I don't have to worry about wood till next year even. Maybe even have got some for next year. And to see him coming down the road and pulling the driveway, and they were saying, Merry Christmas, Dad. You know. It is far better to give than to receive. But I'll tell you what, I really received a lot of wood, and I'm glad about it. And so is my back. It's a time to be able to have gifts. And when we see the star, we can't help but think about the gift. Sure, we think about the guidance and the glory, but there's that gift in a manger that your provision for eternal life was given to you. It wasn't something that you had to purchase or work for. He gave it to you. That's incredible. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2, of course, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of thyselves, it is a gift of God. What an incredible understanding of the love of God. And it's this energy at Christmas time about love to be able to give somebody. It's a positive energy and a positive force. Man can give medicine when sickness comes.
Food when hunger comes. Help when weakness comes. Love when loneliness comes. But when death comes, man can only give sympathy and compassion. And only God can give the gift of life. And it's only God that can give you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? See, this is all about the star. It's bigger, it's better. It's probably better to take the angel off the top and put a star up there. It was a mountain, one-room schoolhouse where discipline was pretty severe. By the way, the Amish still do this. They penalize somebody if they've done something wrong. They built my house, helped me build it, and I remember having to stop along the road one time, and he said, "Turn around, Dean, let's go back." He pulled out a razor strap, and he said, "I brought this today. I needed to give it to the school teacher, and I saw this little petite woman looking out the window with the wood stove going, and she was the one that was going to give the spanking to the boy, who was bragging that the paddle didn't hurt." So, but I heard a story about how that this one-room schoolhouse, and my dad had one like that, there was a problem one afternoon where a little girl was crying because her lunch was stolen. And so the teacher came in. Of course, the discipline was really strong, and the person that did it was going to get it. And so finally they were able to find out who it was. And a little boy in the back, real thin. In fact, he was the only one that didn't wear shoes because that's how poor he was. And he took that lunch and ate it. And he said, "I did. I'm so sorry." He began to cry. She said, "Come up and get your medicine. You did it." He walked up there. She took out the strap. She says, "Take your shirt off." This is a one-room schoolhouse. This was years ago. This was in this country. And whether you think it was right or not, don't even go there right now. Just think about it. And she pulled that razor strap out, was going to go after him, and all of a sudden this big boy, he was walking down the aisle. He said, "I'll take it. I'll take it." He's always sick, and he's always frail, and I know he did wrong, but I'll take it. You know what she did? She gave it. She took both hands, and she came across that kid's back. That big boy winced with his eyes. It's an incredible story. But it's interesting because what happens then, the teacher was almost to the place where she was in tears. Because that older boy was willing to take the beating. You see, Jesus came to take your place, to take your beating. He did it all. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. And I hope that we never lose the understanding of how good and gracious God is. The master preacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse, was widowed at a young age. And it was difficult for him in those early years because he had a little six-year-old daughter and she'd come home and many times wasn't quite sure how to tell her that she'll never see her mom again. And one day the little girl was standing on a busy corner at downtown. Her dad was with her and they were standing at the intersection. Suddenly a very large truck came to the corner and it briefly blocked the sun and frightened the little girl to where she came and she put her arm around her father. And Dr. Barnhouse picked up his daughter. In just that quick moment, the wisdom of God broke through and he was able to explain to his daughter, "When you saw the truck pass, it scared you. But let me ask you, had you rather been struck by the truck or just by its shadow?" And she said, "Just the shadow." That's exactly what happened to your mom. She just felt the shadow of death. And she's more alive now than ever. What an incredible story. Thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Really, it is indescribable. It is incomparable. It is inexpressible that a baby would come, a little baby, and would grow up to be the Savior of the world. It is more precious beyond words. That is the reason I think a lot of times we get lost in our own agenda at Christmas time. And I want to tell you a story, and I'll be all done. This particular story reminds me of how that we're not to go to the light, we're to come to the light. The invitation is there for us to do that. I'm a hunter. I like to hunt. I love Jesus, but I like to hunt. And I remember years ago, I had my brother. He's a little red-headed one. I texted him this morning and told him I was going to tell the story and got permission from him, and he said it was fine, so he's going to hear this, I suppose. But we all went deer hunting as boys. We have four boys in the family, and we were way up north. And I remember going hunting up there. Sometimes my dad would tell me as a young boy, he'd say, "Now, if you go back in the woods, Dean, and if you get lost, we may never find you. There's people that have been lost in this woods, and they never found them." As a little boy, that creeps you out. Because what if all of a sudden you find him? So anyway, we went hunting, and opening day, I put up a big stand and shot my deer. My little brother says, "Hey, Dean, can I use your stand?" I said, "Sure, you can use it. I already got my deer. You go ahead." But I said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop you off, and I want you to walk straight through this corner. Look at the corner, and you walk straight through. And if you do that, you'll come to the edge of a cliff, and you just sit over to the left. That's where my stand is. But when it gets dark, you better make your way right over to the edge of the cliff and follow yourself right back to the road. Because if you don't, you are going to get messed up royally. You're going to get so lost." He said, "That's great." So he goes over there, you know, and he's sitting in my stand. He had a great time, you know, watching some deer, but he wanted to get a buck, I suppose, and got off the stand, came down, and he said he was walking back toward the road. It was almost dark, and he heard a snap, and so he turned around to hear the snap. He walked over this way a little ways to hear what was going on. He didn't see anything. So he turned around again, and he thought, "Wait a minute. Where am I at here?" He thought, "Well, this is where I should go." And my brother got more lost than anybody in the family has ever been lost in the woods. I was down in another spot, and I got all done. My dad was with us that year. My brothers were all with us. It was pretty fun that year. But it was dark, and the coyotes were howling in the distance, and my brother was completely lost. If we listened really, really good, we could hear him in the distance. "Hey, can anybody hear me?" What he headed to was a swampy area, and he got so confused. In fact, he was supposed to shoot his gun in the air. That's what we told you, shoot your gun in the air, and in the air, just shoot it, you know. But you're supposed to shoot one shell once and then wait a while. He shot seven times. Boom, 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 boom. So he's out of shells now too, right? I had an old pickup truck. It was a Dodge, yellow. I thought to myself, what can I do to help my brother? My dad's almost crying because my dad's had a lot of tragedies in the family, and to have one of his sons now, it was really bad. But I drove to the highest hill, and I faced my headlights toward the noise, the voice. They weren't like gravel roads. These were dirt roads. And I turned the lights on, and I was yelling out, "Darren, come to the light. Come to the light." We hollered and hollered, and pretty soon we could hear this noise in the marsh and coming out of the woods, and it was clanging and banging and all kinds of things, you know. And all of a sudden I hear this. That's what was happening. Because he was not only trembling, but he was out of wind. And he was lost and confused and didn't know where to go until he came to the light. He was about 50 yards from the road, and I ran in the woods, man. I put my gun down, I ran, grabbed him, and I drug him all the way to the edge. I laid him down. He's just sobbing. And my dad's sobbing. I thought to myself, that's exactly what we're going to do tonight, is that there are going to be some lost men coming in here. And they thought they knew, but we're going to show them the star tonight. And they're going to come to the light. And the light is Jesus Christ, and he will illuminate their heart forever. But he will put their feet on solid ground, and they'll know where they're going. And see, this is the purpose of the season. It's not that we would go and get the best deal at Kohl's and say, look at all, I saved $742, all I had to spend was $1,700. Seriously, it's not about that, is it? It's about pointing people to the light. And by God's grace, since I was 14 years old in this city, trying to do as much as I can to get the word of God to the lost, won't you help us? What a blessing it is to be able to point people to Jesus Christ. And tonight they're going to come in here, and some of the men aren't, they're not going to have a clue. They're thinking they're going to come to just a meal and maybe even try to find out what they can hawk from something they would steal here. I don't know. But we're going to tell them the truth of Jesus Christ, and I'm not afraid of them, because greater is he that is in me than he's of the world. And no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon that'll formed against you will prosper. You are his chosen people. Amen? You need to live like it this time of year. Do you? Do you see what I see? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. And you know, sometimes people come to me and they talk to me, and if I'm just going mm-hmm and blinking, a lot of times that means I don't agree with you. I don't see it the way you do. Let me tell you something, friend. You come to me with this, I'm going to be going, uh-huh, mm-hmm. I see what you see. Because we must stay with a literal translation of the Word of God. Do you see what I see? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Howell, I am saved. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I kind of need the reset button to be pushed. And maybe this morning you'd say simply, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be renewed in my vision. I will pray for you, but if you just lift up your hand and put it back down again real quick, I'll know who you are. I won't point you out. Would you say, Pastor, would you help me? Pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Honest. Great. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Anyone else with these? Several. Raise their hand. Say, Pastor, would you please pray? I'm acknowledging before God that my vision isn't what it should be. I don't see things the way I should, but I want to. Is there anyone like that else? Would raise your hand and put it back down again. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Amen. But maybe there's one here. Maybe there's one here this morning that says, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever received Christ as my Savior. I don't ever remember doing that. I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. But I've never received him. And today, Christmas 2018 is going to be different because I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Is there anyone like that that lift up their hand and say, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure if I've ever done that. Anyone? Anyone? Lift up your hand and put it back down again. Well, praise the Lord. I am so glad that you're among those that can see. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you stand to your feet, no one looking around? If you need to come for any reason, the altar's open for you. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide now. Allow your Spirit to work in our hearts in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
plenty of time. Got plenty. Got plenty of time if you need to come. If you need to come, you come. Yes, Lord, yes. Have your will, have your way. Here I am, Lord. Thank you so much, Carolyn. You know, I think we've got an opportunity at Christmas more than others because I know God is going to allow you to be able to be with people that maybe are of your family, but maybe they're family members that aren't saved, but also with maybe neighbors and different people around, you have the opportunity to give the gospel out. We have a wonderful track in the back. It's part of the, not this one, I'm talking about. We have a wonderful one on Christmas. If you'd like to take that with you and put it in Christmas cards, take as many as you need. We'll order more, but get the word of God out so God has something to work with, right? At this time of year, keep it going. Do you see what I see? Boy, the opportunity to do it is very, very relevant this time of year and prevalent. Brother Aaron, if you could make your way up here, I want Aaron to close our service with a word of prayer. And thank you for, he's our Sunday school superintendent. I appreciate the teachers getting together at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning and be able to just talk through things, but he keeps things in order. You know, I had an opportunity, Raul's teaching in the back with the men, and I went downstairs, got to sit on the RU for a little bit, but I went to each of the teachers and sat in on their classes. We got the best teachers in the city. You know why? Because they're using the Word of God, of course. But to show the pictures, and I was down to the little kids. I mean, David's in that class. And I'm like, wow, this is really good. I wanted to stay in there and listen to it. They were showing pictures and everything, you know. But it's so true. And then Bev, of course, what a blessing to be with Julie this morning. And what a blessing to see our teachers teaching. And don't take it lightly. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. We got a lot of things planned. If you want to come a little earlier and just have fellowship, because once it starts at 6 o'clock, we're going to move right into the program and get right into the meal. We hope to be eating by 6:30. Aaron, you come.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for this time of year when we can commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ. And let us also take the time to reflect on his life and his sacrificial death and his resurrection. I pray that we would use this time of year as a springboard to witness to those who might be more attentive to the message of Christ because of the season. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to minister to some of the homeless in this city this evening, and I pray that we would be a channel of your love and grace to them and to everyone else whom you would bring into our lives. Be with us now as we go throughout the remainder of this month. I pray that you would just guide and direct our steps as we seek to serve you, that in everything Christ might have the preeminence, in whose name we ask. Amen.